This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.
Yes. Jill Nowacki from Humanity, by the way. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome being back in person. Oh my gosh, how's it feel?
It feels great. Yeah? It's wonderful. There's so much energy and excitement around it. People were ready for this. They're ready to see each other. And it's been a lot of fun.
I've heard that's we're obviously down below. Everything's happening upstairs in the exhibit hall and the sessions and stuff. So we're kind of below it all. But we hear that people are just so excited. The energy is just it's amazing upstairs. Yeah. That's what I hear.
Yeah, and the optimism is back too, which is, I think, something that in a lot of the conversations that people have been having the last couple of years, it's kind of been more drudgery and when will this end and we're tired. And I think people are starting to feel more hopeful and optimistic and looking toward the future too, which is great.
Indeed. It's good to have that positive vibe back for sure. And we're in person. We get to see each other and get to have these impromptu chats in the hallways and stuff. So it's all good. So what do you want to achieve? Before we get into a couple of topics, I want to get what do you want to achieve here, Jill, besides expanding your horizons and enhancing your exposure, all that type of stuff.
What else do you want to do? Something that's really exciting for me personally about being here is that over the last year, and it's interesting too to think back to the last time you and I sat down together in person was GAC 2020 with Renee Sadaway. We were able to start talking about the AACUC and Humanity Partnership and our objectives to move forward with this goal of 30 by 30, where 30% of the top leadership positions in the credit union industry would be held by women and people of color by 2030. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to kind of think back to that. But in that virtual environment the last couple of years, Humanity has grown a lot. So we've hired 3 new people in that time period. And this is our first chance to be together in person. So I have one employee who I've never met before yesterday. And then the rest of the team had not met one another and met each other. So we have and it's that just creates such a good energy and positivity around it. And that chance to actually, you know, we spend a lot of time on Zoom together. It wasn't like we were like, who are you? When we knew, but he walked into the room, it's, oh, that's Carl. And so, so it's been great to just be in that situation and have people live and in person and get to know one another that way. So personally, that's been huge for this.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because there's obviously a number of vendors upstairs who have signed deals with credit unions as new clients and things like that, but they've never met in person. Yep. And here's their chance to meet each other. Like, hey, that's what you look like.
That's true. And that's true too. I've had so many clients where it's like, I feel like we've been spending lots of time together. We develop lots of, when we work with clients really on both sides, on the DEI consulting side and on the executive recruiting side, we get to know their organizations really, really well. Yeah. And sometimes we know these organizations really well, but we've never sat in the same room as the executives. So yeah, we get lots of hugs. I'm so excited.
It's really amazing. All right, so let's talk about a couple of items here. I mean, obviously today's unique labor market has its challenges. So what are you seeing out there for credit unions? Because you're literally on the front lines of this on a daily basis. So what are you seeing out there with credit unions and the unique labor, let's use that word, unique labor market that we're in right now?
There's lots of opportunities or challenges, depending on how you want to look at it. It's interesting because really we can look at this, the opportunities are different by gender, they're different by title and function in the credit union, they're different by generation as well. So a lot of the credit unions I'm talking to are saying, okay, well, we're really worried because our CEO is ready to retire and we may or may not be where we want to be in succession planning. But then a lot of the credit unions I'm working with are saying, we're seeing a lot of turnover. It's, 40% at the teller level in it. And they're not losing their C-suite executives, but they're losing those frontline employees. And then we saw, that we talk a lot about the great resignation in some of the subcontext of it. People are also talking about the she session, which is this: women are less represented in the workforce today than they have been since the 80s.
Oh my God.
And if you look in your community, I think your kids are old enough, like mine, that it's kind of like childcare is not so much of an issue now because people are school age. Yeah. But so it hasn't impacted me as much personally. Mm-hmm. But the childcare shortages are, and the expense of childcare has really driven a lot of parents out of the workforce, and in a lot of cases, it's been the moms who have left it, and so that creates a real. When credit unions are looking at how do we structure our work, how do we structure our benefits package to make it so that two-parent households can choose for both parents to still stay working, where it can make sense that way too. So lots of different stuff going on. And then something that is another interesting fact about, I think, a lot of the frontline turnover is a lot of times those frontline employees are younger employees. And one of the statistics that's come out of the Great Resignation is that most of the turnover is actually happening with like 16 to 24 year olds. And a lot of it is stemming from the, they're kind of like, one of the things I liked about my job was I had great social networks and we had opportunities to go to happy hour together and stuff. Yeah, and now we really don't. So I might as well just be a graphic designer or an Uber driver or some other kind of gig economy thing. I don't have coworkers anyway.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of the other element of what credit unions need to do is how do they keep those connections that, and they talk a lot about, well, how do you build culture in a remote workforce?
I was thinking the same thing,
And it's even a little more, it's not just culture, but it's true like connectivity between like that interconnectedness of like really knowing your coworkers and, which goes back, I guess, to like how exciting I am about meeting my team here for the first time.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like a breakout session.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I'm like,
no, because I'm actually really curious about that topic. Yeah. Maybe we can talk about it at another time.
Absolutely.
But yeah. Trying to develop and nurture that culture when we're so remote, it's got to be such a challenge for companies in any industry today. So, hey, the other thing you want to talk about was NCUA's rule on succession planning. You want to comment on that real quick?
Yeah. Just the fact that, that mention earlier about, we've been talking for years since I started in the industry over 20 years ago. We've been saying in the next 5 years, half of our CEOs are going to retire. And the 2007-2008 recession slowed that retirement rate because suddenly people couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. But the pandemic didn't have that economic impact on people's retirement. Mm-hmm. And so people who made it through the pandemic and then were like, this retirement I'm putting off, I'm actually ready. Like, this isn't fun anymore. I'm tired. I'm out. Or the age is just there. Not in our industry, but across many industries, the new retirement age is 62. That's pretty young.
Wow.
And so that's the age now that people are looking at retirement. And that does change, there are credit unions are, it's time to activate these succession plans. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, particularly with smaller credit unions, I think we've seen a lot of succession planning by merger.
Mm-hmm.
My sense is the NCUA is trying to curb that a little bit and say, all right, you've got to now look at succession planning. You have to have a succession plan in place, and your examiner is going to come in and actually look at what it is and what you're doing with that.
Interesting.
And you can't put that succession plan in place 6 months before your CEO leaves.
No, that's not planning.
So, and with a lot of these, smaller credit unions, we're working with a couple right now. They're between 20 and 50 million in assets. They have fewer than 6 employees. Mm-hmm. So there's not necessarily that, clear development, like that time that's been put into
the next
development
person in line, so to speak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. And it's like everybody, when you have 6 employees, everybody does their thing, so those, we're working a lot in really kind of deep multi-level succession planning now. So how do you create something where your CEO has someone who can step into that role, but if your chief lending officer is stepping up, who's going to step into that CLO role?
Right.
And how do you not just look at it and say, well, this person looks high potential, so let's invest resources in them, but really invest those development resources across your organization so that when you do have that succession plan to turn over to the NCUA, it's not just kind of, well, if A, then B, but if A, then B, C, D, E, all the with multiple options, that's really deep in that. Mm-hmm. So that's been an area that we've been really focused on, the kind of career path planning, individual development, and succession planning deep in the organization. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing our clients who've done that really coming back and saying, okay, we're ready now with this NCUA rule. So I think it's a big area, and I think it could be really great for the movement.
I think so.
Because if we can get succession planning at those smaller credit unions, we may keep more of those.
No doubt,
credit unions
around. It's a great. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, I mean, because we have kind of an unsaid succession planning for members, because we're always wanting to get the younger members in to keep the credit unions going. But what about the executive? I mean, what about the CEO? My gosh, to keep that credit union going and growing. you got to have that. I mean, that to me would be a must have. So I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
So you're in the mix of it. So, before I let you go, what are you talking about here? What are some of the things that you're talking about with some of the folks in the hallways and stuff? So I'm sure you're seeing a lot of people and besides, hey, great to see you again.
Yeah. So a lot, you know, a big part of our business at Humanity, the DEI and the name of it, is focused on that strategic integration of diversity, equity, and inclusion to really build those inclusive mm-hmm. cultures.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in 2020, a lot of credit unions said, okay, it's time after the murder of George Floyd, they put statements out about Black Lives Matter, or right. they started to do a lot more work around employee resource groups and starting to build that out. And now we're a couple years out from those first initial efforts, mm-hmm. and people are looking a little bit more deeply at, okay, what's next? How do we sustain this? How do we integrate this? How do we keep it, mm-hmm. How do we keep it meaningful, the yeah. work that we're doing in yeah. that area? So there is a lot of conversation around that. And in from our perspective, it really ties well to what we're talking about with that leadership development, succession planning side of it. What we've found in the voice of the employee research we do with credit unions is that the most common reason why people might feel like their credit union is not inclusive is if they don't know what it takes to get promoted or to advance there. Mm-hmm. So if they don't feel like they have a future with the organization,
right.
it's
no
really
path.
Easy to say, well, I guess this place isn't for me.
Yeah.
I don't see myself as a leader.
Yeah.
So that's been a big part of the work with, like, what I'm hearing is, oh my gosh, how do we make our employees engaged, excited? Mm-hmm. How do we create a better employee mm-hmm. experience?
Yeah.
And those conversations around diversity, equity, inclusion are still part of that. Those conversations around leadership development and a lot of conversation around mid-management mm-hmm. leadership development, where it's like, we know what we're doing with our young professionals. We know what we're doing. Like, we'll send them to a crash event. We'll hook them up with our league YP
yeah.
group. We know what we're doing with our senior executives, but how do we really work with that mid-management to get them to a point of being more strategic, being yeah. more intentional. So.
Yeah, because I think that group would be really cognizant of their future. You know, it's like, okay, what's my, this is great, but what's my next step or the step after that? So
yeah.
I think they'd be really aware of that.
I think they are, and I think sometimes they get into that, you know, we talk about the sandwich generation from the perspective of, like, it's the person who's caring for their ailing parents and caring for their children.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I think the sandwich generation at work is, like, the mid-level management who is, like, maybe eyeing their own opportunities for advancement and their next steps, but they're also responsible for bringing up that generation who reports up to them mm-hmm. too, or that level that reports
yeah.
up to them. And I think sometimes what happens is that and they're usually managing hands-on jobs too. It's not like they just have a role where they're being strategic and responsible
mm-hmm.
for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes we see the urgent get in the way of what's important. And so it's, or like the, I kind of talk about it like the Cinderella idea, where it's like, you can have leadership development once all your chores get done, but, like, first you have to, like,
get
all your tasks done, and then maybe you can
that.
Go to the,
yeah.
like, and so they end up, you know, not, like, they may be cognizant about, like, oh, what does my future look like? Where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
But, and they may have leaders that are like, sure, you can do whatever it is you want. You can do any sort of leadership development you want. Just make sure everything else gets done
yeah,
first. And
I get it.
Most of us, I don't know about you, but my to-do list, I've never just been like, oh, look, everything is done.
Same way.
Some people say only put 3 things on your to-do list so it can be finished, but I'm not.
I can't do that.
I don't write it down. I might forget it.
Exactly.
So it's
yeah.
The
yeah.
perpetual growing list.
Yeah, because I'm the same way. Because I'm just like, I want to think strategy sometimes, but it's like, okay, I got to get this stuff done first before
yeah.
I can have a clear conscience to get to, you know, to think that way. Because
yeah.
I'll always have this other stuff in the back of my mind. It's like, oh, I got to get that done. I got to get that done. I can't think strategically until I get that done. So I totally get that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
sometimes you just need somebody else to come in and be like, okay, Mike, put this aside. Let's talk strategy.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, I do need that, like, desperately.
Bill Gates takes himself on retreats. Maybe you should do that, where he'll just go away for a couple of days, not bring the technology with
yeah.
him, just like the books and the lists and the.
I'll do that. So. I just might do that. All right,
you
good
Bill
idea.
Gates, so.
All right, Jill, thank you. You heard it here first. If you don't see me for 6 months, it's all Jill's fault. All right, Jill, well, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you,
by.
Mike.
I mean, we could talk about this for days on
Absolutely.
End. My gosh, it's so interesting. These times are so interesting right now. So, and you're right there in the middle of it, leading the way. So we appreciate that. And, look forward to the next chat as always.
Thank
well
you, Mike.
You are.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.